We're going to. I hear Schultz now. We're going to do this almost roundtable style tonight, since we can dialogue like that with a group like this, right? So I hope it's profitable to you. I want to use the music tonight as Melissa leads it with Sharon to get us into a framework of saying thank you, Lord. And it's not just thank you, Lord. You know, we really have to be specific. We take our salvation for granted many times, and our salvation is the biggest gift that He ever gives to us, because we don't deserve it. So, you know, be thinking along those lines. It's easier to be critical than thank you, than grateful, I should say, right? Criticism comes natural to us, and that's because of our sin nature. Being grateful means that we have to stop, we have to think, we have to let the Holy Spirit guide. And sometimes, you know, we don't want to take the time to do that. So tonight we want to give thanks, even with all the problems going on. We'll talk a little bit in a little bit about what's going on in Israel. There's supposed to be 50 hostages released over the next several days, and we hope that you know, they're okay, and it's going to be good for the Israeli families to get their loved ones back. So we're grateful for that, and Israel is shrewd. They will not let Hamas regroup, but they'll keep going with their mission, which they ought to be doing. So we say thank you, Lord. Can we do that? All right. You don't have to stand if you don't want, all right? I know you're all preparing for tomorrow, and we can be kind of informal. But the rule is you got to sing, and you got to sing loud to help Melissa out. How's that?
Please. Right.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've done in my life. You took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to ask a question. The answer is between you and God. When was the last time you had a prayer time with God and did nothing but thank him for who he is, for his attributes, for his grace, for his holiness, for his mercy, without asking him for a thing? We're going to talk about that in a little while. So give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Amen. Before we were conceived, he knew our name. The God of the universe knows your name. That means a lot more than Taylor Swift knowing your name. Let's give thanks.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. In his hand, he knows my name, he knows my every thought, he sees each tear that falls and he hears me when I call. I have a Father, he calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name, he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows your name, he knows your every thought. He sees all those tears that fall, and he'll hear you when you call. He sees all those tears that fall, and he'll hear you when you call.
I love that last line. When you look at the magnitude of the universe and other universes and universes beyond those, and God is the creator through Jesus Christ, you have to ask, who am I? Right? This is basically what Job did when God gave him his day in court. And, you know, Job said, Lord, why did you allow all of this to happen in my life? And if you remember, God answered, where were you when I created the stars? Where were you when I named them? So, who am I?
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the winds. Do you hear me when I'm calling? Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? For I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? For I am yours. not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
Good singing. You may be seated. Be careful, you may have to be here for the cantata and sing. Yeah. So, I asked Doc to read the scripture tonight, and as he comes up and does that, my challenge to you is this: you have work to do, okay? It's simple. Who said, oh my God? Oh, I'm retired, okay. I got to retire my car soon. I got to put new tires on it. So, thinking is not work that you should not do. It hurts to think sometimes, but here's the assignment. I want you to listen to Doc as he reads the passage, and I want you to take note on what stands out to you, okay, and why. So, Doc, you have a high calling here. You're going to be the town choir.
All right. This is Luke 7.
Over here.
Over here.
You're not going to get out of it.
Not over here. All right. This is Luke 7, and it's 36 through 50. And I thought this was two sections here, actually. Oh, it's up there?
Yeah.
I got it here. I'll read it from here. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. This is the parable of two debtors next. This is verse 40 through 50. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into to thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they went, and they that sat at meat with him began to say with themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace.
Okay, you can. Unless you want to preach. I mean, that's all right. let me go back to the beginning of the passage. Okay. Tell me what stood out to you, if anything, and why. Go ahead, James. Very good, very good. James picked up on the fact that back in Jesus' time, there's a couple of scandalous things going on here, right? The woman, first of all, was touching Jesus. That was not permitted in public, correct? Women and men weren't supposed to touch in public. Second of all, she was using her tears and wet his feet and wiped them with her hair. And when hair was down from a woman in public, they were viewed as promiscuous, okay? Now, this woman's background was a prostitute. I mean, that's plain from the text. But the fact that, well, I don't want to get ahead here. Very good. You get a gold star, okay? What else stood out here? Tell me what else stood out. Tom? Yeah, baggage. Yeah.
So the much is forgiven, the much is expected.
Or I think the contrast here, you're right, but I think the contrast is when you're forgiven of much, then you love much also. You love who? The one who forgave you, right? Would you agree, park your pride for a minute, okay? Would you agree that our sin load, if I can put it that way, was just as heavy as this woman's? Of course, right? Good, you get a gold star too. What else? What else? Go ahead, Frank. Explain. Okay. All right. Do you think it's strange, Frank, since Frank brings up this point, it's key. Do you think it's strange that in the dinners of Pharisees and dignitaries back then, they would let people from whoever wanted to come in witness the dinner? It was kind of like a name-dropping thing, right? Guess who I had dinner with tonight, right? I had dinner with Jesus, right? that fanatic, right, who goes. And people would come in and they would observe. They wouldn't eat, they would observe what's going on. This woman, in my estimation, probably heard Jesus preaching along the way and found out that he hung out with the outcasts, the undesirables, the deplorables that go to Walmart. He hung out with people, okay? I'll get to you, Tom. I see the hand. What this says to me in this passage is that we should never write anybody off, right? Just because they don't live a lifestyle we think is acceptable or whatever, everybody's entitled to hear the gospel and respond to it, right? So we have to be careful there, okay? Well, most of the observers are uninvited. They just come in. She probably knew that Jesus was going to be there, and my guess is she got there early to get a position where she could do this, okay? Because I think in her mind, she says, look, this guy loves sinners, and there's something special about it. He's not like the Pharisee. Simon the Pharisee here, it's a contrast because he's holier than thou, right? And we find that in the passage, but I don't want to get too far ahead. You're all doing well. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Didn't matter if it was a longer memory.
Yeah, and in a sense, Jesus made the contrast to imply that we all have a debt that we can't repay, right? And to be forgiven of that, because Jesus paid the debt on the cross, that's where the grateful heart needs to come from. Make sense? Right? What else? Don't be bashful. I don't grade. Sharon and then Melissa. Very good.
Darn, you said what I was going to say. I'm going to sit away from you.
He wanted the name there.
Yes.
Right? And he failed to give Jesus the common courtesy of an invited guest. Mm-hmm. Right? What were the common courtesies? Could you pick it up from the passage?
Washing.
Anointed with oil. A kiss. And actually, part of that was when they kissed, the host would put their hand on his chest, you know, as a sign of, you know, you're welcome. No, just place his hand on his chest. Yeah, yeah.
So he would have done that to Jesus?
Yeah, he should have done that to Jesus. All right, but he didn't extend any of the common courtesies. So, you know, Pharisee's motive here, we don't know if his motive was to try to trap Jesus, you know, into a theological argument, or he just wanted the name, and at the same time, he was rude to his guest, right? Before you knew Jesus, was there any time you were rude to him? I was, okay? And, you know, so what I'm trying to do here is make some parallels. And Jesus calls them out on it, right? What was the criticism that spurred Jesus to call them out on it? If this man knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. Yeah, but Jesus knew, right? He responded to it, and that's what, you know, when he responded to it. That's, you know, that's why we have to be careful. The death of many churches, by the way, happens when we write people off and we don't think they're worthy of the gospel. And we can't do that because you never know. You never know. What else did you pick up here? There's so much. What about the perfume? What about it? Most scholars believe it cost a year's wages. So this woman worships sacrificially, which is what worship is supposed to be, right? I have to look. There's some confusion as to whether it's the same account or a different one. But I would have to look again. Right? But that's a good observation. Here's what I'd like to do, you know, as we go through this. I got my notes, so you can't do this. The center of the story is, well, there's three characters, right? There's Jesus, there's Simon, and the woman, all right? Simon, being the legalistic, self-righteous, prideful Pharisee, had the Son of God right in front of him and didn't even realize, in fact, disrespected him, right? Jesus graciously accepted the invitation from Simon. Jesus knew Simon's heart, but he still went. Why do you think Jesus went? I'm sorry?
For this woman.
For this woman, but I think he wanted to teach Simon a lesson here too, right? Which means he didn't give up on Simon at this point. He wanted to make a lesson. That's why the parable, right? So he didn't totally, get Simon out of the way, but he used this whole thing to teach Simon about what real worship is and what salvation is, right? Worship, I think this is one of the greatest scenes of worship in the Bible. And unfortunately, because of the way the American church has gone, we've made worship something totally different than this, this woman shows us, this prostitute that we can learn from. If I were to ask you to give me different elements of how she worshiped, what would you say? What do you see there? James got one of them. She worshiped without... Yeah, I mean, and it cost her to worship, right? It cost her to worship, yeah. Say it again, Frank. She worshiped humbly. How do we know that? Yeah, she at his feet used her body, tears, correct? Probably tears of joy, knowing, who she is and who he is, right? We should learn from this. Worship, we use worship as a noun, but worship is a verb. It's an action word. If we just use worship as a noun, we get lost as to what it really means. I think she knew there was that possibility. I think she knew that he loved sinners. And she wanted to show her love for him. But the proclamation of forgiveness came at the end of the right? And it doesn't mean she was forgiven because of what she did. It means she was forgiven because of what he did. All right, we have to be careful there. So, this woman, I think, had an inkling, especially after the parable, of the huge debt that she was forgiven by Jesus, right? And when we lose sight of that, then worship becomes very mechanical. It becomes almost like, okay, Sunday again, we'll sing a few songs, we'll listen to a message. When worship ought to engage the whole person, heart, mind, will, right? And there ought to be sacrifice. Sacrifice of finances, sacrifice of time, sacrifice of talents and gifts in order for us to worship correctly. Now, that's not a popular message these days because Americans, generally speaking, don't think in terms of worship as sacrifice. In fact, I would go as far as to say in many churches, they look at worship as almost entertainment. And it really has hurt the church in a great way. Christ always has to be the center and focus of worship. Would you agree with that? This woman really didn't care about Simon the Pharisee. She didn't care about anybody else who was there, right? She wasn't there to write a column in the Washington Post. She was there totally sold out to Jesus. And if we start to understand a little bit of the aspects of worship, we'd be better off. Years ago, in Bill Bright, in his, was it Five Spiritual Laws, right? A pamphlet or a little book we would give out to new believers, gives a guideline for prayer. It's really an outline of the Lord's Prayer. And he says when you pray, you start with adoration. Adoration of who? God, Jesus, right? That's where we start. Then from adoration, we go into thanksgiving. How do we know this woman was thankful? Because she was willing to use perfume. Right? Thanksgiving. Notice, you know, the pattern, even in the Lord's Prayer, is not to come to him and just complain or ask for something. You know, in some senses, we treat God in that way, like Monty Hall, all right? It's adoration, thanksgiving. That's what worship is supposed to inspire in us. That's why we, to the chagrin of some people, that's why we start a service with the music, to get our hearts right, to adore God, to ascribe to him all the praise that's due. From there, we should go into confession and repentance. Because we can't rightly worship without a time of confession and repentance. And then go into supplications. You know what supplications are? Requests. Then we go to God with the requests that are heavy on our heart. But we get this reversed because many times we start with the requests, right? And it really hinders our worship. And any thoughts on this? Right? What would have been your reaction if you were an observer at this dinner? You have Simon, who is probably dressed to the hilt in his religious garb. You have Jesus, who was homeless. He was homeless, right? He'd be judgmental, right? Why? Okay. Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, the scripture has been pointing to me again is it being critical of others comes very easily to us. But looking at them as God sees them doesn't come easy. That's a move of the Holy Spirit that we have to seek. Lord, help us to look at others as you see them, okay? Otherwise, we become critical. This has been a problem even in the early church, right? James says, don't show partiality. If a rich man comes into your congregation, don't treat him any differently than you would the poor man. In fact, get the poor man the front seat, yeah? And we can't lose that. You know, we were in a church where a woman with her child came into the service wearing slacks. She was nicely dressed, and she was asked to leave because she didn't have a dress. You know, I felt like screaming. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. Listen, you know, people come in. You should be grateful they come in, number one. Number two, they're here for a reason. And when we write off people, when we, you know, look at the way they're dressed or we look at their economic status, that's deceiving too, because there was a person called the Wicked Witch of Wall Street, right? She lived like a hobo, to the point where she ate cold oatmeal because it cost too much to heat up. When she died a millionaire, but she lived like a pauper, right? When we judge people like that, we don't know the full story, number one. Number two, I have to believe that if somebody comes here, which is rare these days in any church, that somebody would just come into a church. But when people come, I have to think it's a divine appointment, that they're here for a reason, right? If I think of it any other way, then it's a problem. It's a problem. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Before we leave this passage, any other thoughts? No? Melissa, you look confused.
No. Thank you.
Yes. I think so. I mean, to ignore common courtesies, right? That would, to me, it would be like you walking in, you offer your hand, and I ignore it. You know, I mean, it's a common courtesy that you acknowledge. Or you say, "Hi, Pastor," and you know, if I hear you and I don't respond to you, that's an insult. You know, so we really have to be careful. You know, that happened to me. Just funny illustration as I close. When I was a special police officer in Lavalette, there was a young man, maybe he was 17, 18 years old, on the boardwalk, and he had a dog up there, and you're not supposed to have dogs up on the boardwalk and all. Somebody complained, I was behind him, and I kept calling out, excuse me, and he just kept going. I thought he was ignoring me. I didn't know. So finally I got in front of him and I said, "Excuse me, I've been calling you." And then he said to me, and his friend said he's deaf. And I said, "Okay. I felt like a fool." Then I explained to his friend who knew sign language, "You're not allowed to have dogs up here, in the summertime." And he said, "Sorry, and he took the dog out. But you never know. You never know. We have to recover, I believe, in the American church, the true nature of what worship is. It needs to be heartfelt. It needs to be sacrificial. It needs to entail the whole person. It needs to be very intentional. That's why when people stay away from church, I get so upset. It's been a problem since the church was formed on Pentecost. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembly. Because there's consequences to that. And looking back, thank God that the person who was at Tafalowski in our case didn't give up on us. Because he's the one to share the gospel with us. For 18 months, he was ready to give up, but he didn't. Yeah. So don't write anybody off, all right? Remember that when you talk to somebody, even if they're nasty, even if they're rude, these are people who are created in the image of God. And, perhaps God is preparing them in some way to be fertile ground, for the gospel. So, before we go into the next song, we have two more. Does anybody want to share a word of thanksgiving? No? Go ahead. Sure. In a very real sense, we ought to be a family. And just like any family, we have our own set of problems, right? Right. And you had your hand raised. Thank you, by the way. Yeah, the little things, right, that we take for granted.
So I'm thankful that my wife's work actually arranged time for her to be here. We may have to get out of here a little quick, please don't be offended.
No, that's fine.
Because she's got to get back at a certain time, but I'm just very thankful that they were able to come.
Yeah, I'm grateful too. I'm a doctor. I can give you a note if you want.
That's
a,
Tom.
Yeah. We keep going, right? We keep going because he still has us here. Right? James. Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. It's been a joy to have James and Andrew in the men's group. They've grown tremendously, right, Butch? And Andrew likes to incorporate stuff to theology that, quite honestly, Dr. Fuji's working on, because it's physics and, you know, a lot of other concepts. So it's been good to have you guys there, and thank you. Very kind words. Anybody else want to express any thanks? Yeah, amen. If it was not for that, we wouldn't be here, right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, some of you come to the round table. It's a fascinating place because people, how can I say, this is a high level, if I can put it that way, when we talk about a theological round table, and you've been there, right? It's a high level, but everybody contributes. And, you know, we've had Frank there, we've had Doc there, we've had George, who's been able to come on Sundays now. He was working on Sundays, but he's able to come on Sundays. And, you know, we have our two ladies that come, Pat and Sharon. And just, it's amazing what we can learn from one another in a setting like that, and I'm grateful for that. And then, you know, for me, the privilege of teaching in the theology school, it keeps me sharp, because the students keep me sharp until I give a test, then they start complaining. But it's been good. And I'm thankful for my wife, my family. You know, family's precious. We have to not forget that. Anybody else before we sing? No? Okay. I'm also thankful that that the Giants won twice this year. Three times. Oh, excuse me. All I can tell you is that spring training starts in February. That's all I can tell you. At the end of the slides here, I put a Christmas slide in. And the reason why I put a Christmas slide in is because tomorrow officially starts the Christmas season, right? And all that madness. But the reason why I put it in here is that our commission is to go from here and share the word and the love of Christ with others. Shine, Jesus, shine. Has some of that in the song. So, Melissa, you're up again. We're going to increase your pay. Okay. You can stand or sit, whichever you want. Gosh, that's loud.
Shining in the midst of the darkness, shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Please, Spirit, please set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace. presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may to your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Please, Spirit, please, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Father's glory, please, Spirit, please, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
You okay?
When we contemplate God's grace, God's love for us, his holiness, and the fact that Jesus is going to come back again, we're one day closer. How can we keep from singing? You know, as I've been doing a lot of research into the second coming, and I'm convinced that when believers sense that Christ is coming back again for his church, and then when he comes back for the millennial reign, that believers are going to be singing, whether in the air or on the earth. So how can we keep from singing? Melissa?
There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. And I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through, and sing the songs you give. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. to sing.
Amen. I'm really thankful you came tonight. Thank you. Grateful for you and grateful for this church, and just grateful to God for all he has done and will continue to do as we follow him. If you're traveling this weekend, please be careful. The roads are absolutely insane, and just, you know, take extra time. If you're not traveling, if you're able to come on Sunday, come in good voice. Sunday we'll be looking at Daniel 6. How do we face the lions of life? So, yeah, go ahead. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. So if you're able to come Sunday, that would be great. Why don't we pray, and we can go. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for Melissa and Sharon and Caleb and Joey and the technical people. Thank you, Father, that for the sharing and the good spirit, your spirit that was here. And I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. It says, go as the light to the nations. So the light lives in you. God bless you. If we shut the sound down, Caleb. Joey, if you can shut the camera off for a second.